From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. During World War II, thousands of Japanese Americans were sent to an internment camp in eastern Idaho near Twin Falls. Well, today, the Minidoka National Historic Site preserves part of that site, keeping the history of that time alive to visitors. The Minidoka Pilgrimage Planning Committee holds an annual pilgrimage to the site every year for survivors and descendants, as well as allies of those who were held at the camp. They do this to honor their sacrifice, as well as to work to heal the wounds that were left behind. And this year's pilgrimage starts today. So we asked Aaron Shigaki, co-chair of the Minidoka Pilgrimage Planning Committee, as well as Minidoka survivor Mary Abo, to come on Idaho Matters to talk to us about the trip and the educational work that they do. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron, let me start the conversation with you. Who all makes up the Minidoka Pilgrimage Planning Committee?
So we are a group based out of Seattle, Washington, and there are, I think, primarily descendants and survivors of Minidoka, but also descendants of the other incarceration camps, and then a couple of other people who are, you know, our allies, and they're just truly moved to do this work for various reasons. So we're a group of about, I would say, 20 active people.
Well, and Aaron, I think you bring up such a good point, right? That a lot of people, you know, might know a little bit about Minidoka, but these internment camps were all over the Western United States. And I think a lot of people are just learning about that.
Yeah, there were 10 large WRA camps that families were sent to. And then, you know, we're learning more and more about a total of about 75 different places that Japanese Americans were imprisoned in, you know, ranging from state prisons to mental hospitals to different military forts. And it really has been hidden and erased history. And part of our work is to share it and really bring it out into the light, because it's so vital to the telling of an American history, you know, a full picture of the kinds of things that have happened in this country and continue to happen.
And Mary, let me bring you into the conversation. We mentioned that you are a survivor of the camp. Can you take us back to that time and tell us a little bit about your story?
Well, my family came from Juneau, Alaska, and Alaska was unusual in that everyone who was of Japanese ancestry was sent to these camps. The men who were firstborn, which numbered about 100, including my father, were sent or separated from us. First, they went to a federal jail, and then ultimately went to a Department of Justice camp in Lordsburg in Idaho, and then their wives and children, and which included Tlingits, natives, which numbered again about 100, were sent to Minidoka, and I was 2 years old at the time we were sent to Minidoka.
Mm. And how long were you there, Mary?
3 years. We were released in 1945. My father finally joined us in 1944.
Mm. So Mary, I mean, you were so young. Do you have memories, you know, of that time at the camp? But I would think too, you know, not knowing if your father was okay, what that must have been like for your family to be separated like that.
Yes, my mother could hardly speak English and didn't know what was happening to us. Without my father, she was at her wit's end. She had two sons who were teenagers, but they went out to work. So our barrack was kind of in a state of constant anxiety. My sister, who was 10 at the time, said that my mother started hoarding toast from the mess hall and stored it under her cot in case we, you know, would starve. My one brother stole some scrap lumber, and she became hysterical and forced him to return it because she was afraid he would be jailed. So we were in kind of a state of living with a mother who was very anxious.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Mary, I must assume that that kind of trauma, right, that your entire family suffered has probably impacted all of you as you have continued to walk through your life.
Yes, it has impacted us. I was a child. I mean, since I was only 2 years old, I think I cried a lot. My sister said I was a terrible crybaby. And I had spent my, you know, first several years with my mother in this camp. And I remember being very timid. And when we were released to go back to Juneau, I was shocked in kindergarten to see children with blonde hair and blue eyes. I felt like, what has happened? Who are these people? Mm. They don't look like me. I felt like an elephant.
Erin, just listening to Mary's story, I would imagine this is why it's important to have this annual pilgrimage to the site.
Yes, you know, after Japanese Americans won redress from the United States government, after a long fight that was initiated by our community, Minidoka became a national historic site. And I think that really allowed the community then to begin a formal gathering there. It sort of gave us purchase to do what we needed to do back on that land. And what we need to do is heal from the trauma and start to sort of unpack some of the things that happened there. You know, both tragic and also kind of amazing, you know, that our community really pulled together, you know, took care of the children as a community. And even though, you know, folks didn't know what was going to happen next, really tried to press through in the hopes that there was going to be a better future.
Mm-hmm. And Erin, it's not just survivors who can go on this pilgrimage, correct?
That's right. Yeah. You know, this year we did have a pre-registration that gave priority to survivors and descendants. But of course, spouses and then a few other non-Japanese Americans will be joining us this year. There have been times where we've had about, I guess, up to 300 people, and then it's been a much more mixed group. This year, we're trying to keep it a little more lean at about 200 folks, which is quite a lot of people to move around Southern Idaho at one time. So I'm glad for the cap.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mary, have you been on the pilgrimage before?
Yes, I've been about, this will be my third time.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you go and what it means to you?
Well, the first time I went with my sister went about 15 years ago, and I went mainly as a historical reason without, you know, really, I just felt like it was important for both of us to just go back to that place. And she was very reluctant because she had so many memories, whereas I really didn't. And she said she was glad she went because she realized that she survived. And then I went again with my husband, and then it became a deeper experience because of the workshops and meeting other people. And then the third time, I feel very comfortable because I've I know people that I've talked to before that it's like coming to a sort of home, and I'm coming with my daughter and granddaughter, so it'll be like I want to share this place with them so that they can understand what happened to all of us.
Aaron, what other kinds of reactions have you heard from folks as they come back to the site? I would think that there are so many emotions involved in this.
Yeah, it really spans a range from, deep sorrow and sadness and anger. I remember the first time I went on pilgrimage, I was just really pissed off that this thing had happened and just had so many questions. And I think the pilgrimage, provides a safe setting for people to work out whatever they come with, and to be in a space where, the context is set. When we're sort of outside of community and outside of these pilgrimages, like so many people don't know that this happened at all. And it can be very mentally exhausting to explain the whole thing from the beginning. So these pilgrimages, I think, really provide a place for people to do some processing and some healing and to celebrate each other.
And Aaron, why is passing on the legacy of what happened so important to you?
I just feel so appreciative of my ancestors, for making it work. I think about especially my grandmothers. Both of them were in Minidoka. One of my grandmothers birthed my dad there with the help of a horse veterinarian, and the other grandmother met and married her partner. So I just really appreciate what they did so that I could be here and future generations could continue to flourish and have faith in America, and this notion of the American dream.
And Mary, same question to you. Why is it so important to pass on this legacy? As you mentioned, you're bringing your daughter and your granddaughter on the pilgrimage this year.
Well, a Buddhist priest once said at a memorial for my husband's father that he asked us if we remembered the steps coming into the temple, and we all paused, wondering what this meant. And he said, "If you remembered, that means that the steps existed. If you don't, then they don't." And so that way, I think Minidoka is this type of memory that you want to keep for yourself. And I'm so pleased that the younger generation, such as Aaron and my daughter and my granddaughter, seem to feel that this is really something that needs to be remembered. I'm so appreciative of that.
And Aaron, before we wrap up, how can folks find out more about what you do?
We have a website, MinidokaPilgrimage.org, I believe, and we have a newsletter, and we've been in the media a lot lately, largely around stopping the Lava Ridge Wind Farm project. So a quick Google will bring us up, in kind of the whole package of things that we're working on, including the pilgrimage.
I want to thank both of you for talking with us today, for sharing your stories and your history. It is so important. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.